Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara Chafei on Aleph Thrila. It's from the top of Chomei Pesach Yochiyach. We're not much in the middle of the drush, so I just have to summarize exactly where we're holding. The Gemara says that Abaye had tried to argue that everyone would agree by Klaya Kerem that you would be loke even if it was loke derech hanas. And if you derived benefit, even not in a normal way of deriving benefit, you're still going to be Chayav Malkus and the pace of when it comes to Klaya Kerem, because the Torah is Mechadesh, that there's no Achila written over there, so it's going to be any form of benefit. That's what Abaye wants to ask. Now the Gemara has this long question based on the Braisa. The Braisa said that how do I know Basar Bachal Vizasar? And the Gemara was learning it out from Trefa, and the Gemara continued that we had a Kaval Chomer. I don't know that's going to be Asar Basar Bachal is a Kaval Chomer. The Gemara suggested is a Kaval Chomer from Arla, that Arla, which had no Avera done to it, all you did is plant it innocently, some strawberries in the field, and you have to wait three, well, it's about fruit tree, let's do, so let's do whatever it is, you plant apples in the field, and they wait 3 years, so then that's going to be something, you don't even do an Avera, so Kavah Chomer, something that's a Basar B'Chalav, which you did an Avera for, is going to be something which is Asar B'Hanas. So that's what Gemara wants to suggest, and Gemara says, wait a second though, Arla is lo yislashasa kosher, that was rachas as a kosher, that there is a chumra by Orla. Orla, the moment I plant it, it's asr. It's asr from now until those 3 years. There's nothing I could do to change that metzias. As opposed to basar b'chalav, it was fully kosher meat and fully kosher dairy I put together. So I had two fully kosher things, and I put them together, so therefore it has a shasa kosher, so that is going to be more mekel. So that is a problem with the kavah chomer. So now the Gemara is going to say, chomet pesach yochiach. The Gemara is suggesting now that we could do what's called we could use a tzad hashaveh is like a common denominator. That when you have a kavah chomer that had a problem with it, you could use a tzad hashaveh and take the common denominator. So the Gemara says, chomet pesach yochiach, shayla shasa kosher, vasar bana. We can use the common denominator from chomets. Chomets has a shasa kosher, i.e. the bread is winter all year round except for Pesach, and yet it's asr b'hana. So the Gemara says that this common denominator is problematic because there's a big chumra by Pesach. And what is that? Ma'ala chametz v'pesach shekin ash karis. We know there's a very chumra punishment. You get karis for a person who violates eating chametz on Pesach. Toma basar b'chalav shein karis karis. Opposed to basar b'chalav, which is only an isr lav, you would have a chumra by Pesach. So therefore, you can't learn it out to basar b'chalav. So the Gemara has just found a problem with even using the tzad hashaveh. So the Gemara says that Isi rejected this point because he says klayah kerem yochichu. You could use again. We're using a common denominator, so he's going to use kelaim in that common denominator. That kelaim is going to prove your point. She'ein onesh karis ve'aser bana. It's not onesh karis. It's not going to be onesh karis. You don't have a karis punishment when it comes to klayah kerem. It's just an iser lav and onesh karis, and yet it's still aser bana. It's aser to benefit from it. So therefore, we have no additional chumrah, and therefore I could use a tzad hashaveh from Kelaya Kerem. I could use a common denominator from Kelaya Kerem to teach you that Basar, just like Kelaya Kerem is Asar Bana, so too Basar B'chalav is going to be Asar Behana. So now the Gemara, that was all Isi's response. So that was the end of the bracelet. Now the Gemara is just going to point out that according to Baye, this is seemingly problematic because there is a chumra v'im Isa. If it's true that Isi would hold, like Abaye says, that really someone would get Malkus for the Isser of Kilayim, even Shalokadar Chanasan, so there is a Chumra. Because what's the Nifruch? There would be a Chumra in the Kavachomer. They should have a question that Malaklaya Kerem, she can look in a land of Filoshikadar Chanasan. The Mishnah should have stated that there's a problem when it comes to Kilayim, that Kilayim, the Kilayim of a vineyard, having that, the Kilayim of the Kilayim of the vineyard, is going to be, you're going to get Malkus on them even if you don't have benefit from them in the normal way of having benefit, as opposed to Basar B'chalav, which you are not going to be Usar having benefit from it in the way that if you don't have it in the normal way of doing it. So meaning if you have Basar B'chalav, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a, that's actually, let's say, the like injecting Basar B'chalav into your body, that would not be Chayev, as opposed to having a Kalayim, injecting Kalayim into your body, that since you're having enough from the Kalayim, that would be Usar. So the Gemara says, why don't you ask that as a problem with the Kaval Chomer? So what's Abaye going to respond? Abaye, how is he going to answer that question? Tomar b'may. Abaye is going to say, what exactly are you talking over here? Can you say this really when it comes to Basar B'chalav? What are you going to come with the Kula? Tomar b'Basar B'chalav, she'in lokan av elad arachan. Also, you're going to say that when it comes to having meat and milk that was cooked together and say that you're only going to be chayav and arachan, that's not too. Asar b'Chalav achila k'sidabe. He is going to disagree with that. He's going to say that when it comes to Basar B'chalav, you're right. That even shalokid arachan also, one is going to be chayav and you're going to be chayav malkus if you have benefit from Basar B'chalav in that way. So it's therefore in a chanami. It's not a chumra that doesn't apply basar b'chalav. Just like kalaya karam is asr shalokadar chanasa according to Abaya, that even if you have benefit not in the way that people normally have benefit when it comes to kalayim, so to kalaya karam, rather specifically the vineyard kalayim, so too, for sure, you're also going to be chayav on basar b'chalav as well, even if it's not the normal derech that people have hana in that manner. So the Gemara now explains, so what did v'idach, so the one who asked the question on Abaye, v'idach the kamosiv la, so the one who asked the question on Abaye, he must have held, savar l'hachik gamra menevela, he said that this is why we're learning it out from nevela. What's the point of using it out from Nevela? That we're learning out Basar B'chalav from Nevela. Ma Nevela derachana asa. That we know that when it comes to Nevela, it's only how you chayav a Nevela. Someone eats a non-shechted animal that just died on its own. So why you chayav for that? Because that's going to be chayav only in the normal way of eating it. If you do it for another purpose, use it to cover a wound or whatever like that, you're not going to be chayav that. Af Basar B'chalav derachana asa. So too when it comes to having milk and meat, it's only going to be eaten in the normal way. So he holds, apparently the one who's the makshin, he held that basar b'chalav is only going to be usher if it's eaten in the normal way. So the Gemara continues asking on Abaye, la'achilo kasav achila begufa. So how is he going to deal with the comparison of nevela to basar b'chalav? Because specifically, it doesn't mention when it comes to basar b'chalav eating it. So it says lo sevashel, and that is focusing on the hanashibo, on the benefit. So which Abaye is saying that the Torah specifically uses the lashon of bishal to teach you that someone is going to be chayav of any type of benefit that he has, even if it's a benefit which is not the normal way of benefiting from something. So the Gemara says, but lifrach, but Isi should have added the question on the other side. Malaklei akarim shekin lo yasalo shasta kosher. But wait a second, kilayim of the vineyard, they're more machmir because they never had any moment when they are going to be permitted. So, however, when it comes to basar b'chalav, which are again we pointed out, you have kosher meat and kosher dairy, and you cook them together, that meat created the iser. So the Gemara, the Makshin apparently held that only the growth of the grapes and the grain is going to be Asr Midaraisa. There was never a moment that it was going to be Mutter when you planted it together. So meaning the fruit that grew is all Kol Kulo and Isr. So the Gemara says, Amar Vada Bar Ava, Zosemeres, we can make, from the fact that we don't mention this in the Mishnah, we can make a diuk, that we could say that Kalaya Karam Ikarin Ne'esarim. That the really, even when you originally planted the Kilayim, Navidu, that's also going to be Asr, Hoel Vaisalash, Shazakosha, Kodamash Rasha. So there is no Kasha, because Kilayim, the vineyard, they have a moment of being Mutter before they actually take root. So the Gemara now is answering that not only the growth of the kilayim is going to be usher, but even if it's planted itself, that's going to be usher midaraisa, and therefore that was mutter for benefit until it takes root in the vineyard. So therefore, Isi ben Yehuda couldn't argue that kilayim of the vineyard never had a moment which is going to be mutter, and therefore then it wouldn't be a kasha at that point, because then that's not going to be a chumra anymore. So the Gemara says Rav Adar bar Arva understood that a person's not going to be chayav from a plant that you put it beforehand. The Gemara says, is that really true though? Masiv Rav Shmaya. Rav Shmaya had a question on this. Amavir atzitz nakol bekerem. Someone who was transporting a pot which had a hole in the bottom of it, and you were growing something in that pot. So it had a hole that was large enough apparently to assume that the Gemara assumes that you're able to have nourishment from the air. It's somehow, I don't know the Matthias how this could work, but the way that it is that it somehow grows from when you have this open plot that you carry it over a field, it's going to grow, it's going to be nourished from the ground below it. So if you have something which is different than the vineyard, so then you're going to have kilayim. So the Gemara says, Im hosif masayim asr, if this pot grew 200th when you passed it through, that's going to be asr. So the Gemara is medayik in this Mishnah. The Mishnah seems to indicate if only hosifin, only if actually the plant increased, is it going to be usher, lo hosif lo, but if it didn't increase, it's not going to be a problem. From here we see that the plant itself wasn't seemingly usher, only the growth is the issue. So the Gemara answers, Amarava trei krai ksiva. There's really two psukim with regards to kalaya karim, and therefore we can learn these two halachas, and they're not going to be so sur self. The pasuk says, lo sizra karmecha klaim, petikta shamalea azder asher tizra utvasa karim. So we have both the fact that the pasuk is focusing on the growth, the fact that it's going to grow, pentikta shemlei azera asher tizra utvas akarem, that the growth and the seed, focusing on the growth and the seed are two different things. So there's two different things that's mashma from the pasuk. So Rava deals with this. Ksiv hazera, one thing is the seed, which is implying that the seed itself is going to be usher right away. Ksiv hamelea, however, the other thing is implying if it's going to grow, meaning if only when it actually grows in the state of kilayim is it going to be usher. So which is it right away, or is it only when the fruit grew? So the Gemara answers the Hakeitzer, how are we going to answer this kasha? Zaru ameikaro, if you plant the vineyard from the beginning, Bahashrasha, then it's going to be Aser right away as soon as it takes root. And at that point, that's what we're learning out from Azera, that the Zera is teaching you that the plant becomes Aser right away, even the original planting. So that's going to be that at that point it's Aser. At that point, it's considered something that's usher kokolo from the very beginning, because as soon as it takes root, that's usher, so that means it never had a shasta kosher, even, when it started to take root, it already was usher. So zarua ava, however, the plant was already taken root before, and you bring it to the vineyard, then hosif in lo yosif lo. Then when is it going to become usher? If you already have a grown plant, I have this, the grant was already, the pot, which had an opening on the bottom, was already grown. We're just saying that if it grows more than a 200th after that point, it's going to be usher. 200th is the sheer bittel. If it grows less than a 200th, we assume that's bittel by kalayim. Like everything has bittel. Like truma, we had a few times ago, we had that truma is going to be bittel 1 in 100, kalayim and orla are going to be 1 in 200. So we're saying over here that when it's already a fully grown thing, then it's going to only become usher if the amount that grew is going to be more than a 200th. But if it's the earlier stage, then we're going to assume that it's already going to be usher from the moment of hashrasha, the moment that it took root, in which case that's considered something that didn't have a shasa kosher, and that would answer what Rav Ada bar Ava was saying. That right away, that it's considered something that we answered Rav Ada bar Ava, yes, that if you planted two different things and they were planted together, then they would be considered that didn't have a shas a kosher. So that is what we're explaining. Now the Gemara continues. So where's the Amar of Akav Amar Yochanan? The Kol Misrapin, a person's allowed to use as a medicine for anything that he needs. However, Chutz Maaseh Asherah, except for the woods of Asherah. Asherah, we know, is the trees that they used to worship as a Avodah Zarah. So if you use that type of tree to have a medicinal help for you, that's going to be usher. So the Gemara asks, what is the case over here? Hechidami. What's the case? Inema de ika sakana. So if we're talking about a case where there is sakanas nefashos, we're talking about a life-threatening situation, so then, afilo atzei asherah nami, then atzei asherah should be mutter. That should be mutter because we know the pasuk says v'chai behem v'loy shemuspeh, and the pasuk is telling you that a person has a chiyav to do pikuach nefesh, to violate every isra in the Torah. We're going to get to the big three in a moment. That's actually going to be the Gemara is going to discuss over here. Ve'idalek a sakana. So if there is no sakana over here, afilu koser shabatoranami. So then all the isurim in the Torah one is not allowed to violate. They're not allowed to violate it at all. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara answers la'olam de'ika sakana. Here we actually are dealing with the case where there is a life threatening danger. Ve'afilu achatir shira lo. And we're saying even the chiddushes over here that atzei shira are going to be aser. Disanya Rabbi Lazar Omer. Rabbi Lazar says this is the beginning of the pasuk is the shmas, which knows v'avta es hashem alkecha b'chol v'avcha b'chol nashecha v'chol me'odecha. So why does it say b'chol nashecha and b'chol me'odecha? If I have to learn love Hashem with all my soul, I know I have to learn him with all my money as well. That's included in all my soul. So the Gemara says im namar b'chol nashecha. If the pasuk tells you that you have to love Hashem with all your soul, then love me'nemar b'chol me'odecha. So then why does it say I have to love him with all my possessions? Im namar b'chol me'odecha. It says I have to love him with all my possessions. Love me'nemar b'chol nashecha. Why does it tell me I have to love him with all my soul? So why is it both of them, whatever they are, whatever is considered the most chashuv should be the one that people the Torah mentions. I'll learn from a kal vachomer the second one. So the Gemara says, "Elamar lecha." So the fact that I had to mention both is because there's actually two different type of people. Imesh adam shagufu chaviv alav mamona. There's some people who their body, their lives are more important to them than their money. We would hope that's all of us. I would hope that we're in that category of people who care more about their lives than the money that they're making. So lechach lemar b'chol nashecha. That's why it says b'chol nashecha with all of your soul that you have to sacrifice your life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yesh adam shememono chaviv alav megufa. However, there's a person whose money is more precious to him than his life. Then for him, then you have to give up your possessions because that's going to be a greater sacrifice for you. Lechach lemar b'chol me'odecha. So from here, you have to give up everything. From here, we see that a person has to sacrifice his life rather than violate a avodah zarah. So we're seeing. But even using this asherah wood is seemingly a type of hoda'a to the avodah zarah, and therefore that is going to be a problem over here. And even in a situation of yarek v'aravar, that's going to be asher. That's a shaila over here because there's a whole shaila in the Rishonim. Because here you're not doing the avodah zarah itself; you're using it for another purpose. So I don't know how exactly you're using the message. Let's say if you burn the asherah and it had a pleasant aroma for you, so lamaisa that is not considered as full-fledged worshipping it. So that's the Shailan that we're showing him over here, because is this a Raya? There's a concept called Avuzrayu. Avuzrayu means like a subcategory of the big three. Is the subcategory of the big three also Yarek Vayavar? So there's two ways to understand it. You could say, no, that when a person using the Avodah Zarah of the Asherah, that's considered as if you're actually worshipping it, in which case that's not called Avuzrayu, that's actually doing Avodah Zarah. However, the other Rishonim could learn that this is a proof that really a subcategory of the big three is also one has to do Yarek Vayavar. And this would be a proof for that, because they're understanding that at the end of the day, over here, you're not actually doing avodah zarah. Let's say you're burning it for the purpose of a good smell that you need, because a person's in a life situation, he needs that smell for whatever reason. So is that a proof over here that even the subcategories are going to be avodah zarah? An interesting deal that comes out of this gemara. So now the gemara continues. Ki asa Ravin Amar Bi Yochanan b'chol mishapin. So we have a similar discussion on the topic. Ravin said he used to come from Eretz Yisrael and say things that he heard from Rabbi Yochanan, who lived in Eretz Yisrael at the time. He used to come to Bavel and say statements from him. So he said that a person's allowed to use any type of healing, chutz me avodah zarah v'gilui arayos, and shvichus davim. This is the famous big three. The big three are the person can be healed with anything except for avodah zarah, gilui arayos. Gilui arayos, that's a shaila actually. What is in the category of gilui arayos? According to many, it's only going to be an iser that you would normally be chayak misa for. So let's say ishis ish, or relations with one's person's mother, or certain of iser arayos, they're going to be chayak misa for. So those are the ones that are considered gilui arayos. That's a shaila also. What about a nida? Is a nida considered part of gilui arayos? Is that part of gilui arayos or not? Rav Shetway is like to quote it at whatever. I hold maisa. I'm not getting into that. But so the maisa, that's a whole shaila. What is considered gilui arayos? What's not considered gilui arayos? If I have more time at the end, or maybe I could mention the story of Shechter. See if I have time at the end. And then the last thing, ushvichas damim, or murder. Murder is the one, if you're threatened to, if someone says to Reuven, I'm going to kill you, unless you kill Shimon, you're not allowed to kill Shimon. The Gemara is going to discuss this. Now the Gemara says, Avodah Zarah, we learned from Avodah Zarah that we just said, we learned from there that a person is not allowed to even use the Asherah to benefit for his medicinal purposes, even if it's a life-threatening situation. So we just had that drasha. Gilo Rayos Ushvichos Tamin. So how do I know Gilo Rayos Ushvichos Tamin? The Tanya, the Braisa teaches why. Rebbe says, Rebbe Omer, Ki Kasherikum Isharayu, this pasuk is specifically in reference to a nara ma'asar. The pasuk says, "V'na'ara lo zaseh davar in l'arachit min maves ki kasher kum yisrael ruachatzah ken." The pasuk is telling you shouldn't do anything to the nara because it was in the sada and no one was there and she was calling out and nobody was there to answer her. So no one was there to answer, and that's the same thing over here when it comes to a person who's trying to kill someone. That's the same thing as the nara umrasa. So the Gemara now asks, what in the world does someone trying to kill someone have anything to do with the woman who was being raped right now, who's screaming for help? So what is the fact that this married woman is screaming for help and the man who's killing someone? So the Gemara says, "Areza balalame." This was actually coming to teach something about a nara umrasa. V'nim talame is also teaching you the subject of the teaching as well. So the wording of the pasuk is implying that we're learning two things from here. The Torah is connecting the fact that we have a murderer to a nara merasa to teach you the hekesh between the two dinim, and we're going to learn a similar halacha from nara merasa to the laws of a murderer. So the Gemara now says, what is that comparison? So makish rotzech nara merasa. The pasuk is comparing a murderer to a woman who's married. Ma nara merasa nitan latzila benasha. Just as a nara merasa, you can save her, meaning you're allowed to kill the guy who's about to rape her in order for him not to be able to rape her. How do I know that? Because the pasuk says, "Matzah nasha amarasa ein moshiela." Pasuk says that there was no one there to rescue. The Gemara says, and the Edge learns out that if there's a moshiela, then you do kill him. If there's anyone who's able to be moshiela, to save her in any which way possible, he is allowed to kill the person who's attempting to rape her. That's the halacha, and the same thing is now we're comparing it. Afrotech nitalim tavanasha. So too, when it comes to a murderer, since he's trying to kill, Reuven's trying to kill Shimon, you have a right to kill Reuven in response. You're allowed to save Shimon and kill Reuven. So now the Gemara says, v'namarasa marotech, and we're also going to learn out for nara merasa, that's a lacha about not murdering. Now he's learning nara merasa rotech, marotech, yareg valyavar. Is someone who's a rotech, someone who's committing murder, you have to be killed in order not to violate this avera, to kill someone else. So again, if someone comes up to Reuven and says, I'm going to kill you unless you kill Shimon, so you have to let him kill you, you're not allowed to kill Shimon. Af namarasa tehareg ve'al te'avar. So too, when it comes to a nara hamura asa, a woman who is married, she should be killed and not violate the iser against Gilui Arayos. So this is the big shaila over here. When it comes to a woman, we say that she's Yareg Val Yavar. In which circumstance is that the case? So there's one Girsa of Tosfos that says, Af Nara Merasa Yareg Val Yavar, that Nara Merasa, that when it comes to a Nara Merasa Yareg Val Yavar, that specifically a man should allow himself to be killed rather than do the avera of Gilui Arayos of adultery. That is only a man. That's according to the Rivam, who we know is because the woman with the famous Gemara in Ksuvos about this, Esther Karka Olam, that whole sugya of the Tosfos over there, that Karka Olam is a concept that a woman's not active in the role of having relations. So therefore, it's not considered something, it's only a passive one. So maybe it should only be the man who is going to be chayav to give up his life. However, the Riyah understands that no, if a woman's going to have relations actively with a man in this circumstance, she is going to have relations with him, she's also going to be chayav misa. She's also going to be chayav misa, and therefore she should, it's also going to be yarg v'yavar in that circumstance. She's always going to be chayav misa, but here she's going to be yarg v'yavar in that circumstance as well. This is a famous thing. Rav Chaim has a famous machlokas about this in the Rambam, that if you have a passive yarg v'yavar, someone said that I'm going to throw you on a baby, or I'm going to kill you. If you try to stop me, I'm going to kill you. So the person is allowed them to be thrown on the baby and not actually have to stop and let them. They're not doing anything there. The person, someone else is throwing them in the pit to over the top of the baby. So then you don't have to allow them to push back and have them shoot you because you're not doing anything. They're pushing you. That's very fundamentally different than when they give a gun to Reuven and they say, if you don't shoot Shimon, then we're going to shoot you. Then he's actively shooting Shimon. That's considered active. And that's Yarek Valyavar. That's a fascinating tosfos about considered passive. Can you have such a thing as passive Yarek Valyavar? That's the Rambam. Reb Chaim has a whole malach about that, but we don't have time to get into it. Lamaisa, it's a very fascinating topic over here if a person wants to analyze this sugyas more. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Shvichos damim gufei menalan." How do I know that with regards to murder itself, that someone has to sacrifice life rather than murder someone else? Svaru keudas lekamei derava. So that's it's a svara based, and you could say that it's in a story. What did we say? One, someone came before Rava and Amar Lei, Marizutre Amar Li. So that Marizutre is like the what's it called? The ruler of the town. The ruler of the town, apparently he was not Jewish. He said, Zil Katleit Lepalnia, go do a hit for me. You have to go kill this guy. I want you to kill him. Go kill Shimon. Vilo Katleinach, I'm going to kill you if you don't. And he asked Rabba, what should he do? Amar Lei. So Rabba said, Liklach, you don't have any right to kill Shimon. You have to die. Vilo Tiktol, and you're not allowed to kill anyone. So my chazis, and what's the svara? So here's the svara. The Gemara is bringing this whole story for the svara, and the svara is my chazis the dama didach sumak tfei dilma dama dahu gavra sumak. Who says that your blood is any redder than the other guy? Meaning, who says that your life is more chashuv? Who says klapei shemayim that you have any right to assume that your life is more chashuv than his, and therefore your blood is redder than his, and therefore since you can't establish whose life is more precious in the eyes of Akash Baruch Hu, you'll never have a right to kill Shimon. And before we say that for any Jew, that's the halacha, because normally we say v'chaybam teaches you live by it, and you're allowed to. Yeah, keep your life for anything else, but if you're taking away someone else's life, that's not obviously the pasuk of v'chaybem is not going to apply, and therefore then it comes down to whose life is more chashuv. And since we're just bnei adam, we're not malachim, we don't understand in klapei shemaya whose life is more chashuv in the eyes of Hashem, so then we have no right to then assume that should be the case, that you should kill someone because your life is more chashuv, and therefore a person always gets killed as opposed to killing someone else. That is the svar l'chora. This does not apply for a non-Jew. The salacha l'chora would only apply for a Jew. That is the shayla. So that the Gemara continues now. Mar Baravashi Ashkechei Ravina. He found Ravina that once, and the Gemara continues about using other medicinal purposes of Yisrayana. The shayafla liberti begarhupe de orla. He was rubbing his daughter with oil of these olives that weren't fully grown yet, and they were orla. So orla we know is usher to have anah from it. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei Mar Baravashi asked him, Amor de Amar Abanan b'shas tasakana shilubas tasakana miyamor. So the Gemara says that, wait a second, when does this halacha apply that it's mutter to have anah from Isurei anah, from something that you're not allowed to have anah from Isur Medaraisa, right? So to have anah from, that's only when it's a life-threatening situation. If it's life or death, then we could say that you're allowed to use them. However, you're just using it for your daughter. Why are you using it for him? So Ravina answers, so Amar Lei, Ravina responds back to Mar Baravashi. He says, hi, ishasa tzmirasa namik ishasa kanadami. No, she has a crazy fever. She has this crazy fever in which it's really, really dangerous. And yeah, it is a life-threatening situation. That's why I give her this orla. Now the Gemara suggests another answer. Ikud amrei Amar Lei midi derecha na'ah, Ravina. She wasn't a life-threatening situation. He was just telling her, did I use it in the normal way of benefit? No, I'm using it in an unusual way. And therefore, it's going to be mutter. So that's here where Rashi points out that usually when you have olives that are fully grown, their oil usually use it, then that's the only time people use it for medicinal purposes. However, Ravina used it way before that stage, that's considered an unusual practice. And therefore, it's not considered a derech hana. So most Rishonim understand that one is not going to be chayav malkos for having hana shelo kederech. However, it's still going to be usher midirabanan to do so. However, b'makom choli, usually when it comes to isurim derabanan, we're more makel for makom choli, let's say taking medicine on Shabbos, if a person's very sick and he needs to take the medicine, that's only an isur derabanan, so that would be something that you can. You necessarily have no benefit. And going back to the sugya before about Hana, and also when it comes to an Isra in general, the Ramah writes that a person has to sacrifice all of his money, not to violate an Isra Midoraisa, as opposed to here, Darabanan, where Mamar Mekel, that was more in the Sugya of Bechol Nashach, about being Moshe Nefesh for that. Here, when it comes to Isra Darabanan, we allow you to be Mekel if you're sick. When it comes to Isra Midoraisa, we're going to be much more Machmer, only if it's really a Shaila Pekul Nefesh or other Nyanim, where we make on Isra Darabanan. Even spending your money, we don't allow you to, for Hefsim Ruba, for certain Isra Darabanan, we can maybe be a little bit more Mekel. When it comes to Isra Darabanan, though, according to Rama, you should avoid everything in the world to make sure all the money in the world to not violate an Isra Darabanan. Now the Gemara continues. Itmar, hana bala aladim bal karcha. So let's say I have hana that is coming that I don't want it to come to me. How do I have that? So Rashi gives the example of if it smells very good. I'll go to the example, I'll just switch a little bit. Rashi gives an example of it smells very good by a Zara shop. Let's just say it smells very good in the Arab shuk on Pesach. So you have amazing smelling chametz in the shuk. So now the Gemara says, so if it's hanah b'shuk b'arz karcha, and I love the smell of that bakery, it smells delicious. Abaya mar muteris. Abaya said it is permitted to derive benefit, meaning if you don't have to avoid it. You're allowed to walk through Arab Shuk, and if it smells amazing, it smells amazing. And Rava Omar, so Rava says that it's going to be Asr. So the Gemara is now going to flesh out what exactly are they arguing about. The Gemara says, Efshar v'kama chavin. If it's option, it's possible to go through two different ways. So let's just use the Arab Shuk, just because I'm used to the old city, if anyone knows the old city. So there's two ways to get to the Kotel. You can go through the Arab Shuk, which is usually shorter, or you can walk a little bit longer and go through the Rova, and go through the Rova Yehudi, the Jewish corner. So in this case, where it's possible to go through Rova Square, and it's only like an extra few minutes to get to the Kotel. So in that case, however, and I love the smell of the bread. So I say, let me walk through and I'm going to smell that amazing bread on Pesach because I can't eat the bread right now. It's like the Pesach program. It's like people immediately after Pesach, the first thing they do is 3 minutes after, they have the amazing, crazy chametz meal because they didn't have good meals the whole week before. So the guy he needs the smell of the pizza to walk through the Arab Shuk. So lo efshar v'kam. So then everyone, and lo efshar v'kam achavin, or it is, so again, we have Esher v'kamachavin, or lo efshar and v'kamachavin, and you are dafka, want to have benefits. So let's say the only way to get to the Kotel, they close the Rova Square, the only way to get to the Kotel is going through the Arab Shuk, and you are having the kavana to be nene from this chametz, so then, because you love the smell, so kuli alma lo pligi to usher. Everyone's going to agree that it's usher, because you are having benefit, you're having in mind to have benefit from it, and that in that circumstance, it's going to be usher for you. However, lo efshar below mechavin. However, if it's not possible to avoid it, and he doesn't intend to have any benefit from it, so then kuli alma lo pligi d'shar. Then everyone, even Abaye and Rava, both of them are going to be mekil in that case. Even Rava, rather, even Rava is usually machmir, is going to be mutter because there's no other way. There's the only way to get to the Kotel was, we don't tell you don't have to go at all. The only way to get to the Kotel is to go through Arab Shuk, and you have no. You don't like the smell. It smells like gross shawarma with their pitas over there. It doesn't smell good. So you don't like it at all. So, or whatever, it does smell good, but you don't care. You're like, no, kavana for binana. Then everyone's going to agree that it's mutter. So this is concept over here. If you have something that is a low efshar and low kamachav, and Rabbi Yosef, interestingly, in his Gosha Rabbi Yosef over here, he wants to compare the case of a Karan Shabbos maybe to the case of lo efshar v'lo kamachav. You could care less that the person is videoing you, and also you have no other way of getting there. That you have to go through the street that way to go. We don't assume, by the way, that's a shaila in the Rishonim, but the Meister, we don't seem to assume that we make you go like a massive tircha all the way out of the way. Let's say like to walk all the way outside through a shar. Let's say go all the way through the other shar, all the way through the one that's always dangerous by the other side over there. That shar. We're not going to make you walk with a huge struggle to get to the Kotel, walk an extra 2 hours to get to the Kotel. That's not called Efshar. Efshar means that it's within reason. So here also, so Rabbi Yosher thinks maybe cameras on Shabbos, we can compare that. He says Tarachin doesn't want to pass it like that, but it says maybe when it comes to cameras on Shabbos, there are other sniffing lakula. Why a person is allowed to walk by if he knows security cameras, which almost every situation where we live nowadays, almost everyone's unavoidable to go through, especially if you live in a big city, it's almost unavoidable to have a place where you're going to walk that you don't have security cameras. How you get out of it, that's a shayla, but this is at least one sniff where Rabbi Yosher wants to use this idea of lo efshar lo kamachavin. So now the Gemara continues, keep pligi, so when are they arguing? To Efshar v'lo mechavin, where it is possible to do the activity, and he doesn't have kavana though to have the benefit. V'aliba der Yehuda davar demas kavan asur. Now they're arguing with regards to Reb Yehuda, who in general we had this machlokas like 8, 10 different times in Masechet Shabbos when it comes to davar she'inu miskaven, something a person doesn't intend to do. If right, you're dragging the bench over the ditch at Shabbos, over the grass. So are you going to create a furrow on the ground or not? So Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda argue about this, like they argue in many different circumstances. The Gemara quotes, so Rabbi Yehuda says it's usher, because even if you have unintended actions, that is going to be usher. And since it might happen, it's going to be usher. Rabbi Shimon says that it is mutter, because we don't assume that's called davar shenemes kaven. The fact that if the unintended action actually happens, that considered your action, it doesn't go back to being your action. So the Gemara now says, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, that holds davar shenemes kaven is usher, the kuli amal pligi to usher. This case also, what are you having? You're having benefit. I don't know, the fact that I don't care about the benefit, according to Rabbi Yehuda, or even if I'm not 100% sure I'm going to have the benefit, I think I might have the benefit, that's called davar shenemes kaven. We see davar shenemes kaven is not just halacha by hilvah shavas, as we saw, it came up by klam, because of other things. So we see that Rosh Hashanah Kavan here applying to Isura. And Rabbi Yehuda would be Machmir, so the Narag Marka quotes, keep Ligi, so when are they in fact arguing? Aliba Rabbi Shimon, with regards to Rabbi Shimon, Damar Devon Shemes Kavan is Mutter. He says that Devon Shemes Kavan is in fact Mutter. Abaye, Rabbi Shimon. Abaye is just going to say like Rabbi Shimon, because Abaye is Mekel, so that's no Shiloh. And Rava is going to say, Rava is going to argue, Amar Adkan Lo Kamar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, when it comes to Ilfa Shabbos, dragging the bench, that's the only time he's going to be Mekel, is when it's unintended, and it was not possible to drag the bench. It was very heavy, so you had to drag it. However, Hecha de Lo Efshar, Aval Hecha de Efshar Lo. Rabbi Shimon would be Moda, even Ilfa Shabbos, let's say, if the bench was too heavy, so it was not heavy at all, it was a very light bench, so you have a Chiyuv to pick it up. That's what Rava wants to argue. We reject Rava over there. We actually are going to go like Vaya in that Gemara in Shabbos in the beginning, the second paragraph over there. So the Gemara says, "Ika de Amrei Efshar v'lo mecham mecham," and I didn't look to the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. So some had an Ika de Amrei that actually when it's Efshar v'lo mecham, and that's actually a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Lo Efshar v'lo mecham, and when it's not possible and it doesn't intend to have any benefits, kliyam alop ligi d'shar. Everyone's going to agree that it's permitted. Keep ligi. When do Bai and Rava disagree? If it's not possible to do any other way, and you're just intending to have an offer from it. And this is going to according to Shimon. The Azza Basar Kavanah, Rabbi Shimon says that we're going to go after the Kavanah, a person's intent. So then, Kuli Amalo Pligi to Usher. Everyone's going to agree that it's going to be Usher, because Rabbi Shimon in Hilchos Shabbos was a Kula. Because when are we going after the fact that the guy doesn't care if he creates the furrow on the ground when it comes to the dragging the bench? He just wants to get the drag point to drag the bench from point A to point B. He could care less how it got there. He can care less what it was creating on the way there. So keep pligas, and we're arguing about El Libid Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Loshna, Kamacham, Lomashkam, Loman, and Miskavan. When it comes to Rabbi Yehuda, that's when they're arguing. Efshar, Usher. When it's possible, it's going to be Usher. Abaye is going to be like Rabbi Yehuda and say that where it's possible, it's unavoidable, it's going to be intended, and therefore it's going to be, it's going to be Usher. So therefore, it's going to be intent, and therefore it's going to be Usher. And Rava is going to say, Amar Lacha Adkan, Lokam Rabbi Yehuda, Shinu Miskavan, Kamachana, El Chumra. When does Rabbi Yehuda say, Damar Shinu Miskavan is Kamachavan to be Machmer? Well, Miskavan, Abai is going to say that it was Mekel, and Rava is going to say that it wasn't Mekel. How could that be? So I think Mir Hashem ran out of time, so I guess we'll pick up. I just want to finish that point of Rava and Abai. I don't think we had clear clarity, but we'll pick up with the Rashi, and then we'll go weiter in the sugyas of Abai and Rava. So we'll pick up Mir Hashem from Amar Abaye, and we'll just flesh out a little bit more the machlokas about the point of Rava and Abai, this last point we just ended off with. Have a great day.